Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and, of course, mysterious future. As you know, I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes, to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. Also, we will have special guests to discuss different frontier and mining-related topics. Most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment, or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Once again, we're ready to go, and the first thing we generally do is provide the listening audience an opportunity to win a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining, your precious metals people, located at 208 Wenzel Street. Do you know the phone number of Oxford Assaying and Refining? 456-3967. 456-3967 for Oxford Assaying and Refining, and today we have a question for you, and of course it always centers around one of our sponsors. And today, the sponsors that were, my goodness, how can the lights light up all of a sudden before I've ever asked the question? Somebody already knows the question, apparently. My goodness, lots of people know the question. I haven't asked the question, and all the lights are lit up. What I think is happening here is everybody knows who my 6 sponsors are, and they have gone out and gone to the effort to find out who they are, where they are, and what they do. And for those of you who do not know who the 6 sponsors are, let me just run through them briefly for you so that you have a chance to win a 1 troy ounce silver ingot. Now, keeping in mind what a sponsor is, a sponsor in the case of Alaska Gold Trails are the people in this community, the businesses in this community, who believe that Alaska Gold Trails provides an interesting service and a form of radio entertainment, and as well as some insight into the history and the past of Alaska, as well as some of the activities that are going on currently in the mining industry, as well as in the some of the pioneer events. These people that sponsor the show include Oxford Assaying and Refining, which you know is located at 208 Wendell Street, B&L Pawn Shop, which is located at 605 Gaffney, and Gabe's Truck and Auto, who everybody knows about, and of course they're located at 2058 Donald Road here in Fairbanks, and Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank, located at 530 4th Avenue, and they've been in business a long, long time here in Fairbanks, and they are a Fairbanks bank. Tip Top Chevrolet, you know Tip Top Chevrolet, they've been in business for many, many years. In fact, is 3 generations of Ginthers have run Tip Top Chevrolet, and Robbie Ginther is currently the general manager. And finally, we have Macaulay's Repro Graphics, and they're located at 721 Gaffney. And today's question is, and you just keep trying to dial in here. I see that I've got a line or two left open now. I'd like to know who's located at 721 Gaffney, and their phone number is 205-282-8141. I want to know who they are, where they are, and what they do in lots of detail. And so if you'll just give me a call here, we'll make certain that everybody wins on this one. So, hi, you're on the air.
Hello, that's Macaulay Reef Graphics.
That's correct. That's who they are. Now, where are they?
721 Gaffney.
721 Gaffney.
And they do blueprint, excuse me. And they sell tools, or they used to sell tools for designing work. Well, let's see.
When was the last time you were in there?
Oh, it's been several years.
What do they have on all the racks? As you enter the door on the right-hand side, what do they have on all the racks, all the drafting equipment? You're familiar with...
Well, I'm not familiar with drafting equipment, but that's what really impressed me, that they had a lot of tools for drafting and design work, you know.
Right, all the templates and rulers and things of that
kind. The things you don't know the name of.
Right. Yeah, the things that I don't know the name of, for sure. They have racks and racks of this material, as well as some other kinds of material. And let me take a moment out here to tell the people that are calling to go ahead and hold the line just a minute, and I'll be with them, and we'll see that everybody gets treated right here. Tell me, do you know that they reprograph, right?
Well, I know, and they do. Blueprinting too. So
blueprinting, and they have a full line copying service. They rent and they sell surveying equipment. You know that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do you know about them?
My daughter worked there 10 years ago.
That's something to know about. Your daughter worked there 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And are you familiar with any of the geologic supplies that they have? Things like hip chains for measuring out distances. This isn't only good for geologists, but other kind of people who are doing work in the field need to know general distances from point to point. And they have the compasses, that high-quality compasses, several brands, including the famous Brunton compass for geologists. They're located where again?
At 721 Gaffney.
And what's their phone number?
Well, you didn't give that out.
Oh, didn't I give that out? Didn't I say 452-8141?
I don't think so. I think she just gave the address. 452-8141.
Very good. And we want to keep in mind that if you've got a question for Macaulay's over there, call Becky or Alfred and ask them. They'll be glad to help you out over there. And what's your name, ma'am?
Darlene Weaver.
Darlene, I'll tell you what you've done here. You've called up Alaska Gold Trails, is that right? And you're going to receive a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. Do you know where they're at?
Yeah, I sure do.
Where are they at?
They are at 208 Wendell.
208 Wendell. Have you ever listened to this show before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you have?
In fact, I won one. Does that disqualify me?
Huh? No,
oh, okay.
Not at all. In fact, there's lots of people win lots of times. Anyway, you come up here, pick up the certificate, and you know where we're located at Washington Plaza. I'm trying to write and talk at the same time. That's like chewing gum and walking at the same time.
Upstairs on the right-hand side across from Midas.
Okay. You come up here, get the certificate, and take it over to Oxford, and they'll give you a 1 troy ounce silver ingot. How's that?
That's great. Say, I was going to tell you one thing. You know how your news faded out?
Yeah.
I think that was the sunspots that we're having.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's the right time of day.
Is it?
Yep.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I'm surprised there weren't a whole bunch of guys running around in here doing crazy things. They
can't do anything till passes.
Till the sunspot's over. Is that right, Darlene?
Well, the sun lines up with the satellite and the and it just blocks it out. It's only happened a couple times a year.
And how long does it last, do you think?
Well, they announced that it was between 11 something and 1 something, and it would last till probably about the 10th or 12th of October somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sounds interesting. Thank you very much for that information.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, you're... Hello. I guess everybody else gave up on me. Well, at any rate, we had a winner of our contest, and Darlene is going to pick up her 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. And as I pointed out earlier, we're here today with Cliff Hayden. Cliff Hayden, welcome to Alaska Gold Trails once again, my friend.
Thank you. As usual, when I start out, I like to explain that I don't pretend to be an old pioneer, because there were pioneers when I came to Fairbanks that had been pioneering the town and the area, not only the area, but in the interior of Alaska for more than 35 years. All I like to say is that I am an old Alaskan.
An old Alaskan. Well, just to show it, to clear up the issue of how old you are, when were you born?
I beg your pardon?
What year were you born, Cliff?
Now, wait.
Come on, you don't have to play that game. Now, come on, give us the truth.
Well, I know, they can tell from my voice that I was born June the 19th, 1910, in Spokane, Washington, but that's what they tell me. Now, I just don't quite remember, but that's what...
But they can tell from your voice, Cliff. There's no problem with that. Not at all. Hey, tell us something else, Cliff. What year did you come to Alaska?
I first came to Alaska, and I arrived in Petersburg the first day of April in 1935.
Uh-huh.
How
many years did it take you to get from Petersburg to Fairbanks?
Oh, it took 3 years and 2 months. It took 3 years and 2 months, but there was an interesting thing.
You know, it's almost taken us 3 years to get you off on the radio to get you from Petersburg to... You know how many shows we've had together? It's been wonderful, hasn't it? I think this is our fourth show together, isn't it?
It's been enjoyable, and all I wish to tell you, anyone on the radio or any place, is the facts as I seen them and still do look at them is it's through my own eyes, and perhaps I see and remember of things a little more than a lot of people, in as much as I was always dreaming about Alaska, and I was very interested in the country and the people, and but these people have been here, so many of them, well, they just accept it from day to day, but I can drift back and think of how unusually different it was when I first arrived here, and it was one of these people that was fortunate enough to have a job when I decided I've got to go to Alaska and see what it's like, and I gave up my job and sold my automobile, got enough money for a ticket one way, and that's how I came to come up here, and I didn't have any idea that I was going to stop off along the way and take so long to get into Fairbanks. But many interesting things happened along the way, too. But I've told you all about that. And
tell us what you did when you first came to Fairbanks. So what job did you have, Cliff?
Well, to be honest with you, I was unemployed. But
sorry I asked, Cliff.
And one of the first things I noticed when I came to Fairbanks was there were an awful lot, maybe 30, 40 young men walking around looking for jobs, and it dawned on me right away quick that everything in the interior of Alaska depended on mining, and mining alone, and there was just so many jobs, and that was it. And everyone was trying to help anybody in need. Fortunately, I still had enough money to take care of the bacon and the things that I needed to get out in the bush, and I had some nice young men traveling along with me, and we pitched in together. But already when I got here, I noticed that the delegate to Congress had alerted Washington, D.C. that they were going to be overpopulated with no young men with no jobs for these young men. Pardon the wrong word there, but so they had already started a CC camp. They had trucks and a forest ranger, a young forest ranger by the name of Virgil Heath, and he had an assistant, and they were setting up to build a 40-man camp to take care of the men in the winter. They didn't think they might have that many, but they were just going to be on the safe side, and which they did proceed to do. I came in from where I was living out on Badger Road, had a little wood cutting set up out there, about what is 6 mile Badger now. But so there was an old fellow by the name of Charlie Mortimer. I may have mentioned that before, that he was repairing houses. We worked for him, but then if he seen where we could pick up a little extra money, like, why, one of the things they done, they tore down a big old fence that they had animals in this large fenced-in area, but they, on the side, they were working to get this camp set up, and the fellows would go out and fight fires in the immediate area. In fact, my buddy and I came in to fight fires and also to work on setting up a little beam station out on Badger Road. Let's see, it'd be, offhand around 4 mile Badger Road, right in the area where the pile driver Chena Slough runs into the Chena River. And that kind of work was what we done primarily. But it amazed me that the forestry outfit got on the ball and got this camp set up to take care of the fellows, because that all at once they could see there was going to be people that are in need, and they didn't want them to be out in the cold. And so, well, they ended up needing a cook. That was always somebody would up and say that I was a good cook. Well,
you loved to cook, didn't you?
What?
You loved to cook, didn't you, Cliff?
Oh, I hated to cook, but somebody had to do it, and if I had to do it,
it was a dirty
job. I cooked for the men. I ate the same food there, so I did the best I could with it. And well, it goes back to one blonde domestic science teacher I got started in what you'd say, cook's training. We had in high school a class then. I met a couple of blonde girls going to the University of Washington. Their father had a family bakery in West Seattle. And I told them, gee, I'd like to learn how to bake this way. And I said, well, Father, he doesn't like people to know the secrets. I said, that wouldn't make any difference. I'm leaving town heading for Alaska. I don't know when I'll be back. So they had me set up to talk with him, and for a week, well, he had me come in about 3 or 4 in the morning and taught me and gave me all of his information. Of course, I scrubbed a lot of big pots and pans, but he taught me how to make a good bread. Well, then the word got around, as I say, that I could do it, and sometimes I thought, well, boys like my cooking, and they run the other cooks off or something, but then I ate to do it. But wherever I went, I always got plenty of assistance, and it made it more of a pleasure. And then I put myself on, at the CC camp, I put myself on the nighttime detail of doing the baking, and then I wrote up the menus and ordered the groceries and found time to go as a special student out at the University of Alaska. I wasn't going actually for credits, but there with a small class, is why I tell you, it was wonderful the amount that you could learn anything from mining to the history of Alaska, or just anything you wished. They had a special semester set up that mm-hmm. way. So
was that short courses during the semester, Cliff?
Pardon?
Were they short courses during the semester?
Oh,
were they just short courses, or were they full semester courses?
They were a full course that you could take. You could, if you wished, to get credit, but with me, I never knew from one time to the next when that I'd be taken off to do something, you know, around the camp, that as I was the lead cook man, well, so I never tried to get credit. Although there at the university, they had a camp cook class, and I took that, too, from Miss Tucker. I kid Lola Tilly, and I tell her, she heard I was coming into class, into the camp cookery, so she took off and got married to Gray Tilly just to get away from there.
Cliff, I want to come back in a few minutes, and I want to ask you a little bit about your first mining activities. I understand that you went to work for a logging company out on the other side of Old Chena, town of Chena.
Oh, well, that,
and then,
that, sir, was after I had came in from the mining venture over in Circle Hot Springs area.
Oh, okay. Well, we want to talk about that mining venture in Circle Hot Springs area right after a couple of announcements.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
To the UAS Paddy Center, October 20th. Tickets at the Paddy Center and Campbell Sports. Sponsored by Pizza Hut, KTVF, and Ogden Allied Presents.
How about a little message from one of my fine sponsors here? And for all those people who would like to take an opportunity to write this down, I suggest you do that right now. I hope you have a pencil in your hand. And first of all, I want to talk to all you folks over 55 years old. If you are over 55 years old, call up Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank and ask them about their prime time account. I think you'll be surprised at what they have to offer over there. So look that up. That's a kind of a test for you. Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank is located at 534th Avenue. And that's kind of an interesting address. Actually, Mount McKinley spans the distance between 3rd and 4th Avenue. They have entrances on both 3rd and 4th. Their entrance on 3rd Avenue is 531 3rd, the entrance on 4th, 530 4th Avenue, and the parking lot is situated on 4th Avenue, for your information. Their phone number is 452-1751. Let me repeat that, 452-1751, and that's who you will call if you are over 55 years old, want to know a little bit more about their prime time account. Give them a call. Tell them you heard Jim Madonna talking about that particular account, and that'll make them happy, and that'll make me happy. But I want to tell you a little bit more about not only that particular account, but a special account, checking account for everyone. Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank is offering the McKinley Arrangement, And that's a checking account service that gives you something extra. The McKinley Arrangement combines the convenience of a checking account with the interest of a savings account, all in one simple package. You earn 4 1/4% annual interest compounded daily, paid to your account monthly. So there are some of the services that Mount McKinley offers, but there's a great variety of other services that they also offer. Now, concerning this this special account, this prime time account for those folks over 55, the interest on the prime time checking account is, as I said earlier, 5.25% annum compounded daily for an effective annual yield of 5.474%. In addition to that, folks over 55 years old have these additional services. No, on checking, there is no service charges, no minimum balance, and you receive 200 free checks. Fees are waived on traveler's checks, money orders, money wire transfers. They also offer free notary, direct deposits, and ample parking, of course, on 4th Avenue. And this is kind of a special arrangement that they have developed over the past year or so, and I think it would be well worth your while to take a look at it. That's Mount McKinley Savings Bank, and once again, they're located on 3rd, between 3rd and 4th Avenue, 531 3rd, 530 4th Avenue, phone number 452-1751. You tell them you heard Jim Madonna talking about them right here on Alaska Gold Trails, K. KFAR Radio. Now, the other sponsor that I would like to talk about just for a moment is Gabe's Truck and Auto, and I think that this is worth something in terms of a silver ingot someday, and that is that they have some new things going on over at Gabe's Truck and Auto. They're opening their third shop, and they have two brand new transmission specialists, state-of-the-art equipment, state-of-the-art knowledge. So if you have a transmission problem, Gabe's Truck and Auto is the place to take it. It's a full-line shop. They're ready to take care of your problem over there. They also have a brand new lube facility, and they claim that they've got the fastest lube in town, and that you just pull your car in there, sit down, have a cup of coffee, and they can have your car out in a jiffy. You know that I've traded with Gabe's Truck and Auto long before I started the Alaska Gold Trail show, and I've always received excellent service from Gabe's, and you know that they are located at 2058 Donald Road. And a lot of people say, well, my goodness, where is 2058 Donald Road? Well, that's over near Metro Field off Van Horn. Their phone number is 456-6156. I did want to give you the new information regarding their additional shop that they're opening and the fact that they are putting in the two new transmission specialists and that they have the new lube facilities. But I never want to overlook the fact that Gabe's Truck and Auto, in the way I understand it, are the people that initiated the no-pass, no-pay policy on the IM inspection. And, you know, once again, folks, keep that in mind. If you don't, your car doesn't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. And another thing, it's going to start getting icy out here pretty soon. You might have a minor problem in that you need a towing service very rapidly. If you will write this number down, 456-6156, that's Gabe's Truck and Auto. They have three wreckers available 24 hours a day, and they can handle any size rig. So if you get into a predicament along the roadway and you need a tow, give them a call. Put this number in your glove compartment, 456-6156, and Gabe will come out and give you a hand, get you out of trouble real fast. Keep in mind now that you can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto. They're located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, and that's 2058 Donald Road. Or once again, give them a call at 456-6156 and tell them you heard me talking about them, would you? Once again, folks, we are here with Cliff Hayden, and if you have a question or would like to make a comment on Alaska Gold Trails, our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. We'd enjoy hearing from you. So pick up the phone, give us a call if you got a question of Cliff and some of the old-time activities that he has participated in. Now's your chance to ask the question. Cliff, carry on with your activities in the mining in the Central District.
Now, I'm going over to Circle Hot Springs up on the Portage Creek, but I have an interesting little sideline here that it was a well-known fact among people that I'd rather mine or do something besides cooking. So there was a lady downtown that gave me a call, and in fact, she sent a taxi cab over to get me because she wished to talk with me about something she had in mind. Now, to those of you people who happen to have a fair memory, this lady was colored Frankie, and she had her home down on Fifth Avenue back behind, in those days,
Spit it out, Cliff.
Fourth Avenue, see?
Gotcha.
So, okay, here come the... I think a young Bob Omer was driving taxi then, the son of Earl Omer, the shrimp king from Southeastern. He was up here for a few years, so he come and picked me up, and he says, "Now, look, Frankie wishes to talk business with you." I said, "All right, okay." I go into her home, and she said, "Mr. Hayden, I've checked you out, and I understand that you know how to look for placer and evaluate it and hard rock and all this and that. And you know your way around and can take care of yourself." Now, she says, "I'm married to an old cuss over at Rampart." And Most people like him. He's nice to everybody but me. But I don't hardly get any gold out of that. And so now I will pay you and pay you in advance quite a bit for to go over there and anything and pretend that you're hired up and need a job. And he's awful nice to anybody that's in need. And so she said, he'll pay you, but that's just extra money. So I said, I'll think this over, ma'am. So then I walk over to the employment office. I don't know whether it's a federal or territorial. And Lowell Morgan, he was a man in charge. And I told him about this, and he laughed like everything. He said, well, Hayden, that might be a good job for you. But she came to me, and she got a man lined out. And he went over there looking for a job. And he says, you know something? He disappeared and has never been heard of again for a year and a half. So I passed that up and went to, then I got an offer to go out to Portage Creek at Circle Hot Springs, and around the 1st of April, we went out pretty early there. That is the second year of their operation. They didn't even have a mess house there yet, but the owners of that mining project were Jack Boswell, his brother-in-law Bill Sholley, and little Pete Stager, and then they had a financial assistant too was in there for a quarter of it. But what they wished more of me right at that time was, is this not going to be very many men there to cook for at first, because they were building the mess house and quarters like that, and those men would be living down at Circle Hot Springs and commuting back and forth, and I would just be cooking for about a half a dozen of us, and that wouldn't take up all my time. And so I'd go out and cut wood or whatever, wherever they needed an extra man, or if Rafferty, one of the dragline operators needed a helper, well, I could go and help him and still cook for the way that most of the food I cooked in old iron Dutch ovens, and I had just not too large a stove, but it was a lot of fun. And so that went on until they got the mess house built. And then there was a fellow by the name of Brown. And I'm not kidding you, that man was one of the best camp cooks I've ever seen. His sister was Margaret, I think, ended up being Bergie. And she had a hotel, restaurant, et cetera, I believe, downtown. And Brown, I am not kidding, he outclassed me 2-1 as far as getting the food ready and having it, you know, extra good for a larger crew. And so once that he finally got out there, he took over, then I was a handyman at doing anything they needed. When we got to start to the sluicing, why, I do anything from working on the boxes to assistant mechanic, and I also help little Pete Stager when he'd want to do a little prospecting, or if we needed extra wood, I'd fill in. I could run the little cats. We had one little cat there, and then we had a practic brand new 7, I believe it was at that time.
Is this where you got your first real mining experience, Cliff?
My first one here
in Alaska,
yes.
Right. Uh-huh.
And of course, while I was helping them around these pieces of equipment, I observed them and caught on how to operate them. And I guess I got to be a fair operator, but they had only used me in case the other operators were under the weather. And the thing that put them under the weather was old Uncle Glenn Carrington's TD-40s. You got them out in the daggone rock piles, and they jumped up and around like a rabbit on a hot skillet. And it got to their kidneys and so forth, but they tried to keep the TD-40 just to push in tailings and things like that. And I know sometimes when the operators, we had about four bulldozer operators, and when they were not feeling well, why, they'd get me out there and they'd put me on that TD-40, and I was leery of pushing anything up for the drag line. We had elevated boxes there, sluice boxes, and by the minute somebody jumped off of that 7, I run and I jumped on it, and away I went with it. Anyway, it was nice there, and there's many interesting things that happened along the way, like occasionally, and not very often, why, the cook, he would go down to the springs, and he was like me, he had a lot of friends, only in my case, I had a problem where that I couldn't drink anything stronger than soda pop, and that would make me sick, so... But he wasn't a drunkard or anything like that. But when he got to feeling a little good, he didn't want to come up and mess around. And I don't care. I could have put in 10 hours. That's what we worked. We had two shifts, 10 hours, 7 days a week. And I could put in 10 hours, and then somebody would come up. And normally, the person come up from Springs, if they saw that Brown wasn't feeling well, was Lois Shoddy. And that's Boswell, Mrs. Boswell, Jack Boswell's sister. And I just love that gal because she'd just run right in the kitchen and she'd say, Hayden, as she came up, you know, and about time to get breakfast, well, you got to come up and Brownie isn't feeling well. And she didn't come in to take the easy job. She put on a big white apron. I had these big aprons there, and so did Brownie. And it was peeling spuds, washing pots, and she was a perfect person. I don't say helper. She was a perfect co-worker. Mm-hmm. And
So the cook went on a toot once in a while. Is that it?
Yeah, he did. And I never seen a place where, other than for me, I'd have liked to. I liked the stuff, but it didn't like me.
Yeah. Cliff, you had some other experiences in some other mining camps. We want to get right back to them, the one on California Creek and some of the other creeks that you worked
on. Wait, don't you want me to drop over on the logging outfit for a little while?
Well, I do. Yeah, let's do that next, right after this commercial, okay?
Okay.
Folks, I want to talk a little bit about Bill and LaVon Tufford over there at B&L, and I don't care if you go over there and tell them I was talking about them, because they own B&L Pawn Shop at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman. And I've said this a lot of times, that it's the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. And also that might be a little bit of an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. And I could list all the things they have over there, everything from cameras to jewelry to guns and what have you. But I think that it's just a joy to walk into that store and walk around and look at all the items that they have, and the exceptional savings that you may find over there, and some of the items that you can't find elsewhere, you might just find over at B&L Pawn. Stop over there, tell the folks that you heard Jim Madonna saying that they might find that odd item right there at B&L Pawn, and say hello to my friend Killer over there. You know, I've talked about Killer a long time, and Killer, of course, took the picture of Mount McKinley that appeared on the back end of our telephone directory here. She's a real fine lady. I don't know how she ever got tagged with the name Killer, probably because she's so nice. But she is there to serve you. And in some of the concepts that B&L have is, you know, if you're a little tight on money, they'll be happy to help you out. And you can bring in anything you feel that might have some value or use. And the folks there at B&L will loan you the money to get through to some better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So, if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn. They're located at 605 Gaffney. And, of course, Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier. And I was talking to Killer the other day, and she says that she's getting ready to sell that chandelier. So go over there and talk to them about it. That's B&L Pawn, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. Their phone number is 452-6491. They're open 9 to 7. Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal for you. How's that? And another fine sponsor that we have here on Alaska Gold Trails, of course, is Tip Top Chevrolet. Now, if sometimes I do Robbie's ads from television on Alaska Gold Trails, and I've had mixed comments about that. Some people say they love the way I do Robbie's ad almost as much as they love the way Robbie does Robbie's ad. On the other hand, some people say that they don't like the way I do Robbie's ad as well as they like Robbie doing Robbie's ad. Well, Tip Top Chevrolet Buick is located at 1916 South Cushman Street. Their phone number is 452-8211. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a break this week. I'm not going to do Robbie's ad. Instead, I'm going to ask Cliff Hayden about Bobby Ginther. Cliff, tell us about how you knew Bobby Ginther, just for a minute.
Well, I tell you, after about in 1940, when I came in from the mines, I had decided to go stateside. I wanted to go back in eastern Washington, and I'd been in Alaska off and on for 5 years then. And so anyway, while they were just getting started with Ladd Air Force Base, experimental station. And the assistant forestry man that I told you about that helped establish the CC camp, Vern Stice, why, he heard that I was getting into town, and he dashed in to see me the year that I was leaving, and I said, sure I am, Vern. I want to go back and visit my mother and friends and go over around Montana mines and some of those hard rocks. And no, he said, we need you for something. He said, here. So anyway, he talked me into going to work the next day out there for the old Ladd Air Force Base. And like everything else, it didn't take me long to get fed up with it. In 34 years, I finally did. But now there was one thing, though, I was missing out on. When I, Bobby Ginther then was a high school boy, and quiet, and still shy individual, not doing a lot of talking like, well, there's the fellow that's sitting at this microphone.
I wasn't going to say that.
And so I decided, well, if I'm going to stay another winter around here, another year, why, I have a little money now. I've always been Scotch, you know, so I was looking for an automobile. And I had had Chevrolets outside. And in fact, that's this car I sold to come up here with. I got money when I sold my Chevrolet, and it was all good and dependable. So I go down to Bobby, the old service motor outfit. It was operated by Bobby's father and his Uncle Percy. And I said, how long would it take you to get me a new pickup up here? And one of them said, say, we have a man, an old-timer that wanted to come up for the summer from down the States, and he had a relative along, and they wanted to take him around on what roads they have in the interior. So ahead of time, he ordered a Chevrolet half-ton pickup, put everything, you know, extra tires, tools, and you name it, onto it, so they could get around in the boonies. And he said, now look, you could take that over even tonight if you wanted to, and we'll call the man. I said, I come to buy a new one from you. What's the matter with you as a salesman? No, this is a good guy. And so he's asking $1,000. That's exactly what he paid, delivered at Valdez for it. And then he put an awful lot into it. And so we'll be helping him, and we'll guarantee it as good as new. Well, I said, I can't beat that kind of a deal. And here this quiet high school boy standing listening to us, then telling. So I made the deal. I just Got out the checkbook soon as I get the man over, and there, here I had myself a beautiful blue, shiny, half-ton pickup. And so I noticed Bobby kind of edging over to me, and he said, "Mr. Hayden, my father and uncle said for this winter that they'd let me, I want to get into business, so, you know, I'm on a payroll of my own, and I ask them, you know, they take the cars and a lot of stuff, their own trucks and stuff out of the garage at night when the mechanics get through." And he said, "I could put in maybe a dozen vehicles for warm storage, and I'll do that all for 50 cents a night. And then in the morning," I said, "you can park them out here, and then leave the keys in. I'll put it in the garage, and then in the morning I'll get up and come down and check the oil and gas and get them warmed up and get them out of the garage in time for you to hop in them and go to work out at Ladd Air Force Base." And then he said, "I'll see there's plenty of oil and gas, everything taken care of." And I said, "Boy, this kid's got something on the ball, but gee, getting out there like that all winter." Why, I have my doubts, but I tell you, I was wrong. He is always absolutely, I'm not kidding, it is exactly as I said that it was that to be, you know, and he agreed with me. So he always impressed me, and from him and then his family and down through the years, Bobby, or no, I shouldn't call him Bobby because that sounds too much like Robbie. But yeah. Anyway, Robbie's a good guy, you know, but I'm speaking of Bob.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want him to be confused, you know, because he's a super salesman, but I tell you, in his quiet way, that's it.
Okay, let's see what happens here. Hi. Hello?
Hello. Is this Jeffries?
I think you got the wrong number. Right?
I'm sorry.
Well, we're not Jeffries. Let's do this.
When you want to pay, maybe they thought I just one place to be.
Our factory authorized clearance sale is moving right along. Ford Motor Company said to move them out so you can't go wrong. We'll give you clearance prices, huge selection, huge cash bonuses, low, low finance charges. This just could be the best deal anywhere, but you've got to do it right now.
The best deal anywhere is right here. I'm speaking for Lincoln Mercury.
If you'd like to buy a home, but you're worried about struggling with house payments, maybe you should get a little help from your neighbors. If you bought a HUD Homes duplex, you could choose your neighbors and get a little help with your mortgage. Or you could buy a HUD Homes triplex and share the expenses three ways. You could even get a HUD fourplex and really make it easy. So ask your real estate agent about HUD Homes and bring your dream home within reach.
Professional travel clients have wondered, how could professional travel ever get any better? Well, it really has, because it's merged with Sunshine Travel. And Lee Ham is moving right over to Sunshine Travel and taking two members of the staff along, Nancy Carter and Susan Thomas. Yes, it's the same old phone number with even expanded services. The number, of course, is 456-1906. If you're thinking of traveling, hey, think of the professionals and give them a friends a call. You'll be glad you did.
Cliff, I want to thank you for joining me on Alaska Gold Trails today. It's been a pleasure, my friend, once again to have you on the air.
Well, thank you a lot, and hope this hasn't confused you, these stories that I've been telling, but it's the way I see things.
Well, Cliff,
remember, I'm not an old pioneer. I'm an old, old in Alaska.
Thanks a lot, Cliff, and we'll see you again here. You're listening to KFAR 660 on your radio dial.